Hello, everyone. Good night. Thank you for being here. This is Think Like a Shark, Uncovering Your Money Belief System. So when you're thinking about your money mindset, it's really important to understand that the roots create the fruits. And so the things that, like, if you're imagining a tree, the roots of the fruit, like the roots of the tree create the fruits. Like if you have the roots of an orange tree, you are most certainly not going to change it by like cutting off the oranges and somehow taping apples up there, right? You have to change what's at the deepest level to change the fruits that are happening in your life. And so that's where we want to think about our money belief system. So here we have a picture of a printer. And so a lot of what happened when we were kids between ages 0 and 7 are part of our programming. When a human is born, we're basically a sponge for what's happening in our lives. Like, you know, what's going on with our parents, what's going on just in our families, in culture and society. And between 0 and 7, there's really no filter. There's no right or wrong. It just is. And so what you heard going on in your life around money, what you saw your parents doing, like the examples that they set for you, and what happened in your experience, your own personal experiences, are going to make up your program. Now imagine, a lot of times what people want to do is they want to change from like a strategy level. They're like, Bree, just tell me what to do differently. And they don't necessarily think about, oh, I want to think differently. I want something to show up different in my life. So that's why we're doing this today, is because when you get down to the deepest levels of why you think the way that you do, it makes it so much easier to look through a lens of, does this serve me? Does this make sense anymore? So that's basically what we're going to do in tonight's activity. So your money belief system is really put together by three different things. It's what you heard, like the verbal cues, what you've heard. Those are the conversations between your parents, just the conversations in the family, in the household, or honestly, the lack of conversations. Most people learn the most by what they saw the family model, like the example that they set for you. So maybe your parents told you to save your money, but you saw them, you know, get all super spendy in one way or another. And then you have your own personal experiences too. And so this is not necessarily what you heard and you saw your family doing. Most of the time, that's going to come between 0 and 10 years of age. Your own personal experiences, that can be altered at any point in time. I've had clients with like a traumatic financial experience, and that forever altered the way that they believe money, like the way that they see money, because it changed that belief system. It shook their belief system. So your money belief system is formed in the first 7 years of life. So that's where it's basically just where you learn how to be a human. And so the thing that's really important to realize about this is that before you're 7 years old, you don't have a filter. There's no right or wrong. Everything that you learn just is. So if you saw your parents being all spendy, or if every time you went out, they bought you a gift and that's how they showed you that they loved you, or if you were never allowed to get what you really wanted and always had to get something second best because it was cheap. Like, this is where our stories start to be formed. And most of it happens really early in those first years of life. And it's funny, because what's kind of unfortunate about all of this is most of us don't even remember like the first 4 years. So you've had a lot of programming that you may not even remember. So that's just something to be conscious of too. So the way that I see it is there's three different parts of your money belief system. So if you could imagine this kind of like a bullseye, like your cultural stuff is going to be what's on the outside. So these are the messages that you got from society and culture. Then on the inner stuff is the messages that you got from your family, and on the personal is the stories that you told yourself about your experiences. Now, generally speaking, and not in all cases, but a lot of times the stuff on the outside of the circle is easiest to overcome because there's no real truth to it for you. Like, it's you just kind of always believed it. So if you're thinking about something in the cultural aspect, those ideas tend to be easiest to break down. Family stuff tends to be a little harder, and your own personal story tends to be the hardest to break down. So you want to be thinking about those things too as we get into this activity. So why do you want to uncover this money belief system? It's because your brain loves what's familiar. Even if that thing sucks, even if you hate the situation that you're in, even if you've had a problem that keeps coming back, it's really important to understand why this stuff keeps happening. And it's mostly because your brain does love what's familiar. So we want to be looking for behaviors that don't serve anymore. Problem patterns, limiting beliefs, duplicity, and resistance. So I'll tell you, when I first started really like making money, it didn't always come in super consistently, right? I didn't always have a fantastic money month. There were some months, when I first got started, there were some months I might make $10,000 or $12,000 and other months I might make two, right? And what I ended up finding was I took on a lot of my dad's behavior. So my dad sold insurance when we were growing up, and we had a very feast or famine pattern in our house where my dad would not have money like for a little while, and like the cabinets would start to get bare, like maybe our cable might get shut off. And then when he would get a sweet paycheck, he would use that money to do any backfill. And then I remember we would go to Costco and get like all the stuff, and he would not ration the money. Like it would just be like a feast when the money was good and a famine when money wasn't. And so that led me to behave in that same pattern. Like I used to pay everything. Like I would have a really big paycheck and I'd get rid of all my money. I'd pay things up like months forward and I'd stock up the cabinets. Like I was never going to see money again. And it really came down to like a belief that money runs out. And so I had to do a lot of work because I had this belief that money runs out, money doesn't last. And so I would behave like money would run out, and then my money would run out because I went and I got rid of all of it, right? And so that was one of my big realizations in doing this activity. I had a client whose problem pattern was he had a personal story, first job, and when he saved $1,000, and this is, I don't know, it's like 25 years ago. So that was a lot of money for a kid with their first job, right? And when he told his dad that he saved his money and he was going to buy himself a moped, his dad took the $1,000 and was like, we need a couch. And he bought a family couch with the kid's personal money. And so the story he told himself is that it doesn't matter because it all gets taken from me anyways, right? And so that story played out for him over and over again. So like his business would be doing really well, and then it would all get taken from him because of some administrative mistakes, but it was an act of self-sabotage. You know, he got into car accidents when things were going really well. And in the work that we did together, he was wanting to start his business back up and was terrified because he was like, dude, I'm going to lose my wife and kids if this is successful, because he believed that when he does really well, it all gets taken from him anyhow. And so that led to a problem pattern. And so a limiting belief is anything that doesn't serve anymore. So that's a limiting belief is like where I said, like money runs out or something of that. Behaviors that don't serve. So there's feast or famine cycles, scrounging, spending money without priority, credit card or other debt that comes back, paying late, bad credit, bankruptcy, being cheap, stingy. I call this sometimes financial constipation, stress, worry, or anxiety, fighting about money, mistrust of spouse also happens. So these are things that in your behaviors, you may see some just behaviors that no longer serve you anymore. Stuff that you're like, why do I scrounge in my couch cushions for coins? Or why do I do these things? And that is that it's just a common problem. And a lot of this is stuff that we saw our parents do. So for example, you know, my dad sold insurance. And so sometimes he would have tons of money because he'd get a really big commission check. And then other times there would be no groceries. There'd be like the cable getting shut off. And what I found is I started to have that same behavior pattern. When I first started making money, like when I was, when I was a financial advisor selling stocks and bonds, my income was overall pretty good, but like wildly inconsistent. So the months that I really got paid a lot, I would find myself doing crazy things to get rid of the money because I had this behavior that was similar to his, where it was like when the money was good, I would pay my bills in advance and I would fill up my cabinets and go to Costco and do all these crazy things to get rid of the money. And then I wouldn't have money. And so that was one of the big areas that didn't serve me. And so as you're going through this list, you may start to be thinking about, you know, what did my parents do that I saw them do? I've had several clients declare bankruptcy, and it's honestly like their parents declared bankruptcy. And so it's just part of their normal. So the next thing that can happen from your money belief system is problem patterns. So that could be things like yo-yo debt. And when I say yo-yo debt, I mean like debt that you pay it off and then it comes back, and then you pay it off and then it comes back, and then you pay it off and it comes back. And it's this cycle of paying it off and it coming back. Big losses. So I had a client, for example, who when he was a kid, it was his first job and he saved $1,000. And when he told his parents that he'd saved $1,000, his dad took his $1,000 to buy the family a couch. And his plan was to buy himself like a moped or a dirt bike or something. And he told himself this story about, well, every time I do well, it doesn't matter because it all gets taken from me. And so that story was a pattern in his life. And so he had a series of big losses and they got bigger and bigger as time went on. I had another client whose dad teased her kind of cruelly about being cheap when she was 10 years old. And she spent her entire adult life making decisions so that way people wouldn't think she was cheap. We stopped calculating what this one problem pattern cost around like $35,000. Like we just were like, all right, this is pretty substantial. We got to work on this. So sometimes problems patterns are just like making bad choices on a large scale. It's not necessarily habits or small things. It's more like less frequent, kind of the big picture type stuff, or the loss of job or money when things are good, or wasting or spending windfalls. That's another problem pattern that people have. Limiting beliefs. So sometimes we have an idea that just one isn't necessarily true, but when we believe it's true, we'll find evidence of being true and we'll act like it's true, and then it will become true. So things like money is hard to come by, or jobs are hard to get, or I can't get ahead, or I'm bad at math or money or budgets or discipline. I can't make money doing the thing that I love. Those are all examples of limiting beliefs. But as we dig into this, you're going to find, you know, a lot more that are pertinent to you. Duplicity is just, it's kind of when your brain is having a fight with itself. So it's like, I want whatever, but I don't really want it. Or I don't think I can really have it. Or I think something bad will happen if I get it. And so, for example, for the longest time, I wanted to lose some weight, right? But I didn't really want to. Like, I wanted the result, but I didn't really want to do the things that would take. I didn't really want to cut my calories. I didn't really want to exercise. I didn't really want to have anything to do with it. So there was a duplicity. And it creates kind of like an ambivalence where it's like, well, I want this thing, but I don't really want it bad enough to do anything about it. And sometimes duplicity will happen like, well, I want it, but I don't even really think it's achievable. So sometimes I'll have clients who want to make a $10,000 a month, but they can't really see how it's possible. So they don't really think they can have it. Or for example, I think something bad will happen if I get it. I had a client who just believed where if she made a lot of money, somebody was going to come and kidnap her kids. Right. And so that's a duplicity, because now you have to believe that you're going to make a lot of money. You have to consent to having your kids kidnapped. Right. And so that's crazy, but that's a duplicity. It's when your mind is having a fight with itself about things. So duplicity can be other things, but these are the three main points that I see most often. I want it, but I don't really want it. I want it, but I don't really think I can have it. And I want it, but I think something bad will happen if I get it. All right. So the next thing that your money belief system can cause is resistance. And it's resistance is really just a fear of change. And so the favorite flavors of resistance are I'm too busy, or procrastination, paralysis by analysis, or inaction, deferring decisions, losing interest, being forgetful, disorganized, spacing out, getting stuck, finding reasons not to take action, being impatient, and finding naysayers. So those are all different ways that people find resistance to like taking action towards their goals. So your money belief system is really, it's complicated. It's in depth. And so this is why we're going to do this activity today. So it's what you believe around earning money, like how money comes into your life. So I'll tell you, for example, a lot of people think you have to work hard to earn money. You know, that money comes through work, right? Hard work, spending, your expenses. You know, I have some clients who believe that their parents just basically taught them that all spending of money was bad, that they should keep all their money and really encourage some financial constipation. Savings, debt, investing, giving, receiving. I have a lot of clients who are more than willing to give, but really terrible at receiving, or sometimes the other way around. And then rich people and poor people. And you want to kind of think of that on a broad scale. So it could be like people with money or people without money or people on welfare, all these ideas, because this stuff is all part of deeply ingrained beliefs. And it's really important to understand it in all the aspects, because money is not just about money. It's multifaceted. So what we're going to do is, for each one of these sheets, you're going to think back in your life, and you're going to write down anything that you heard your parents say about earning money, right? So we see earning right there. What did you see them do? Did you see them work all the time? Did you see them stay at home and take care of you? Like, what were the things that you saw your parents do around money? Earning money. And then specific incidents could be stuff that you learned from your family or your friends or other places in society. But a lot of times specific incidents may have been part of your personal story, something that you did or something that happened to you. And there's really no age range required for that. But the modeling and verbal things, you probably want to focus toward your childhood to really get to the bottoms of those beliefs. And so, what we're going to do is you're going to see, you have a sheet for each one of these areas. So you're going to want to take notes on earning, spending, saving, debt, investing, giving, receiving, rich people, and poor people. So I'd print out the sheets and go ahead and get started. All right. So you want now to reflect on what you see happening in your life from the experiences that you just jot down in the like money belief system worksheets. So you want to take a moment and reflect on the behavior that you see happening in your life and why, like how you pick that up. So like I gave you the example of I had a feast or famine cycle. When I would make a lot of money, I would spend a lot of money, I'd get rid of all my money, right? And so that pattern was something I grew up seeing my dad doing. And so once I recognized that pattern of behavior, that behavior no longer served me, I changed it. So you want to reflect on your own behavior. You want to reflect on your own patterns. You want to reflect on your own beliefs. Look for any duplicities and look at how resistance shows up for you in your lives. And so that's what we're going to do in the next activity. Is so you want to think back to the work that you just did around uncovering your money belief system, and then start to reflect on how that plays out for you in your life. All right. So now that you've finished reflecting on your different like behaviors and patterns, beliefs, duplicity, and resistance, you just want to keep these notes handy as we go through the rest of Think Like a Shark. You're going to start to have some solutions to some of these problems. So our work today was really around uncovering why you do what you do and understanding basically how your programming was built and how that's affecting you today, how that's affecting your behaviors and your patterns and all of this in regards to what you're doing today. So as we go through the rest of the time, we'll start to work on some solutions, but just figuring out what the problems are is good work for today. So we will see you next week. Thanks for hanging out. Bye.